Welcome to the Automotive Diagnostic Podcast. We're going to explore ways to sharpen our diagnostic skills, find learning resources, and hear from experts in the automotive field. I am happy to have Automotive Seminars as a sponsor for the show. Now, if you're not familiar, Automotive Seminars is a diagnostic technician training company. They've got a website that there'll be a link to in the show notes. And what they offer is top-notch training to technicians like us in the field. I've been taking their training courses for years and have got a ton of benefit out of it. They've got top-notch instructors, John Thornton, Scott Shotton, Scott Manna. And every other month, they've got a two-night course that you can sign up for. Join in, ask questions, and afterwards, you've paid for the course, you can access a recorded version whenever you want. You can rewatch the class 2 years later in case you wanted some details on it. And that is a fantastic feature. So make sure to check out the website to see what courses they have available and what's coming up in the future. Hey, what's going on, automotive world? Welcome to another episode of the Automotive Diagnostic Podcast. My name is Sean Tipping, and I'll be your host once again for today's episode. Thank you so much for joining me. I've got another parasitic draw for you here today, going along with the theme, one of the classes I'll be teaching in Australia. This episode should actually air after I teach the class, so if you attended it, you might have some of the info already and how I approach these. But for everybody else who wasn't able to make it down to Australia, or you don't live down there, I'm happy to share some experiences that I have because I seem to just be having a ton of these parasitic draws lately. And boy, they can be challenging. So we're going to go through this, walk you through steps here on how I got to the solution. This one beat me up a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I was not able to dial in to the source of the draw as quickly as I think I should have. But hey, learned some stuff along the way, and that's why I'm sharing it. So anyways, this is a 2016 Kia Sorento. I was called in. It's got a draw. Says it kills it overnight or very close to that. And he hasn't replaced anything on this yet. He just recognized that he's like, boy, I'm really not sure on where this draw is coming from. And it seems like it is multiple fuses. That's what he told me. And we hear this or see this a lot with vehicles, that you're going to get into a draw and it's not just one fuse that has a draw on it. It's multiple fuses. And these multiple fuses maybe all add up to the total draw that you have on the vehicle. Maybe it's a couple of amps somewhere around there, but you'll have one fuse with like 0.4, and another one with 0.2, and another one with 0.25, and they're all active. And this seems to be a very common theme when we get into parasitic draws on vehicles. You know, roughly 1 to 3 amps of current draw and multiple fuses with activity on them or current flowing, right? And I'll use like a little Snicker bar amp clamp around the battery cables. I'll use that to determine, okay, what is my draw? You got to wait the appropriate amount of time. That's different for all kinds of vehicles. That can be a challenge in itself, but that also depends on what size of draw am I chasing, right? If it's 2 to 3 amps, you don't have to wait very long. Give it 10 minutes. It should drop down below that consistently. Now, if you're down in the, you know, quarter of an amp range, you know, 250 milliamps that you're trying to chase, well, you could be waiting for a while on that vehicle in order to chase it. That might be a little tougher, but this one was around 2 amps or so, and it stayed there. I will say there was some fluctuation at one point or another, but when we first looked at this, when he looked at it, there was a couple amps of current, and it never really went away the entire time. Okay. And, you know, give it 10, 15 minutes, set your vehicle up, you know, flip all the door latches, the hood, all that stuff. Oh, I will say this, make sure to do a pre-scan on vehicles nowadays. Look at all the modules, see if there's any codes, and I really mean like pay attention to everything. Don't discount something because you're like, oh, it's just like a switch code in the, you know, driver's door module or something like that. That sort of stuff is what can be causing draws. Even lack of communication codes that are hard faults consistent, pay attention to those. Those can be the cause of the draw, right? Something that causes a module not to go to sleep can be something like a switch input in the wrong state, could be a module that is talking when it's not supposed to. And that could also lead to some type of communication code in another module. These sort of things can point you towards the cause of the draw before you ever really get into it too deeply. So do your pre-scan before you set up your vehicle. Okay, we do that. I didn't see any codes in this thing. Didn't help me on this. But now I'm waiting for this thing to go to sleep. I've flipped all my door latches so that I can access the inside of the vehicle. There's a fuse panel under the driver's side of the dash. There is a fuse panel under the hood. I flipped the hood switch, all that stuff so that I can access everything and not disturb the vehicle. This is a push button start vehicle. Got to take the key out, get it away from the vehicle. We don't want that disturbing it. I am also at this point while I'm waiting for it to go to sleep, I'm going to do an inspection for anything aftermarket on the vehicle. This is huge. And I fix a lot of vehicles by removing aftermarket remote starts and security systems and things plugged into the cigarette lighter. And that one's pretty obvious, but a lot of remote starts that are wired up under the dash, I will usually unplug those first. And what do you know? This one had one. And I did try that. I unplugged it as first thing. Didn't change my draw at all. Okay. I always recommend like, hey, you should probably take that out anyways. It's only going to cause problems. But anyways, this did have aftermarket remote start equipped on it. Didn't appear to be the draw. Okay. So now back to the size of the draw and where, how we want to approach this. And what I ended up finding out was that, again, the 2-amp draw, it was going towards the interior fuse box. I should say it went first to the underhood fuse box, but then also to the interior fuse box. So two different places. And the way I determined this is I used the amp clamp and I put it around the different cables that come off of the battery, right? I'm going to follow the power distribution out of the battery. And that's the beauty about this amp clamp. You can just go from one to another, put it on the ground, put it on the positive, and you can track exactly where on the vehicle that current is going. And usually it's going to go to some sort of power distribution box, a fuse box or BCM or something like that. Well, this one goes to the underhood fuse box. That's one path. And then goes starter alternator. And you can check those. The alternator can be a draw sometimes. And then it also has another one that goes to the interior fuse box. Okay, so I ended up finding out some of the current was going to the underhood. Some of the current was going to the under dash fuse box, multiple places. Well, I ended up finding that there are multiple fuses that also have a current draw on them. And the way I'm doing this is I'm using the amp hound. You're going to take two leads. You're going to go across the top of these fuses. And this is an awesome tool because you can do it with a meter. You can do the calculations. You can figure out based on the size and the type of the fuse, by the voltage drop across it, how much current is actually flowing through that circuit. And you can see, is this my draw, right? But I ended up finding what I was talking about before, where multiple fuses have a smaller than the total draw on the battery. So when I see this, this is screaming to me, there is a network that is not going to sleep the way it's supposed to on this vehicle. Okay, and anytime you see that, now there's other possibilities too, right? There could be, you know, something that shares a power feed or something, you know, some ignition state that is keeping multiple components awake, something like that. But one of the first things I'm thinking and then going to check for is going to be a network that is staying awake. When I see multiple fuses with current draw that are all less than the total current draw, I'm going to check all the networks on my vehicle that I'm able to check. And usually that's pretty easy. Now, this particular vehicle, this 16 Kia Sorento, I can only check two of the networks at the DLC. There is another network that is the body cam. So the high speed cam, and there's another network off of the DLC. I checked those. Those were not awake. There's no activity on them. But there's also a body cam that you do not have access to at the DLC. And this is important. I want to know this. Like, where are my networks? How are they connected? Who is on each network? That's going to become very important once I identify the network that is awake. And sometimes it can be all of them. And I have strategies to identify that as well. But I need to know who exists on what network once I get a little bit more dialed in. But anyways, I'm looking at the diagram and the body cam for this is not on the DLC. And I have no activity on my DLC. I have 12 volts at the pin 16, but that's it. No other networks awake, but I got to check this body cam because there's a lot of modules on this body cam. So where I ended up going with this is right near the accelerator. There's the smart key module and it is on the body cam network. And I find my wire and I tap into that wire and I use my little U-scope and lo and behold, there is activity on that CAN network. It's talking and it does not go to sleep and the vehicle keeps on draining the battery. Okay, well now I'm onto something here. And this is what we need to look for when we have these types of draws is which, if any, network is awake and talking. And give it some time, you know, wait and see, does it go to sleep? Does it stop talking at all? But I have identified that yes, the body CAN. And on this vehicle, only the body cam was staying awake. It never fully went to sleep. Okay, well, that's causing my draw. And it's explaining why I have multiple current draw on multiple fuses. There are more than one module that is staying awake drawing current. And these modules, they probably don't draw a whole lot of current just by themselves, especially if they're not doing anything, which give the vehicle, you know, an audible and visual inspection, of course, look for lights and things making noises. And I didn't find anything like that. You know, there's no module actually doing any work, but they're awake, they're talking. So they're going to be drawing current. And if you add them all up together, they draw enough current to kill that battery overnight. Okay. So now it's my job to figure out, well, why is everybody talking? Okay. First step is to understand who exists on the network that I'm working with here, and then try to develop a process to figure out who is talking. And sometimes that's not an easy thing to do, especially if you have a lot of modules on a particular network. And there's different ways that you can approach this. But again, first thing is figuring out which modules are on there. Now, based on the options of this vehicle and the what I could see on the diagram, this thing had roughly about 8 modules that were on there and they were spread out through the entire vehicle. There's the power distribution module, which is the fuse box or the smart junction box under the dash there. There's a body control module, smart key control module, power lift gate module, both of the door modules. And there was a couple other modules on this body cam as well. So I can approach this a few different ways. I can unplug a module one at a time, find them all, unplug them until the module goes or until the network goes to sleep. That's an option, but it's not one that I like, especially when I have 8 or so modules to do. Like that is not my first way to go when I have a parasitic draw of this type. This episode is brought to you by L1 Automotive Training and Keith Perkins. If you're looking for education on module programming, J2534, EEPROM work, key and immobilizer, electrical diagnostics, or drivability diagnostics, Keith has a website, l1training.com, that's got over 60 hours of training videos on all those subjects and more. When I first started out doing mobile, I utilized Keith's videos on module programming and J2534 in order to get my head wrapped around what I would need for the tooling, the computers, the software setups, you know, what kind of obstacles I would be up against when I'm out there programming modules on cars. And it was a huge benefit to me. And I continue to use the training videos that he has on his website. So I strongly recommend checking out l1training.com. The link is in the show notes. I could find the fuses that feed these modules and unplug them one at a time. I'd be careful with this. I don't like pulling fuses when I'm doing draws because it can wake stuff up. But the other problem with this is there are a lot of modules that use multiple power feeds. And two of those modules on here, the body control and the smart junction block, those are not so easy to just pull a fuse and kill that module. I could save those for last, but I have a better way of approaching this type of system. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to divide up the network. And I will say this usually works pretty well for me. It didn't so much in this one, unfortunately, but this has been very effective for me in diagnosing these types of draws or narrowing in on who is the module that is talking, especially when it is a CAN network that the activity is going on. Because what will happen on these CAN networks is one module just doesn't go to sleep. He's like, hey, I'm still awake. Something's happening. It could be a fault in the module. It could be a switch input. It could be, I guess those are the two most common things. But for some reason, that module is like, yeah, we can't go to sleep yet. Something's still happening. Something's still happening. Something's still happening. And everybody else will say, okay, well, I guess I'll stay awake. I'll keep talking. Okay. And so everybody talks on the network, sharing whatever information is on there. But once you remove the module that keeps talking, everybody's like, okay, you done? All right, cool. I'm going to sleep. And so all I have to do is find a place in the network that I can divide the network, split it up into two sections, and then I can look at either side of the network and see, okay, does this side of the network now go to sleep? And does this side of the network stay awake? And then I can narrow it down to the module in question. Now, I tried to do this on this vehicle. I split it up in a couple places, and I'll be totally honest, I didn't have a whole lot of luck getting what I wanted out of this. And I'm not exactly sure why, but I went round and round in circles on this and was not able to get the network to go to sleep until I finally pulled some fuses for the body control module. It finally went to sleep, but I wasn't convinced that this did it because once I put the fuses back in, it didn't wake back up. I was like, well, that's very strange. And I'll get to my assumption as to why this happened, but I did waste a lot of time here. It did not work on this Kia the way that it usually works out for me. This has been a very effective way to narrow down the modules, but it didn't on this one. And I mean, that's the sort of stuff that happens. It's like, we can have some tried and true test methods. We're going to run into something where it doesn't work the way that we thought, but I couldn't quiet down this network. Not easily. Again, I had to pull like all of the fuses for the BCM, but then when I put them back in, it wouldn't continue to talk until I cycled the key. And it was very strange. And I was definitely going round and round in circles. So anyways, I decided to take a different approach, and I don't like to do it, but I wanted to try to isolate specific modules on the bus, rather than trying to separate the network. After wasting a decent amount of time, I decided, okay, well, this is the route that I need to go because I'm not getting anywhere. I did not suspect that it was the BCM. And I actually went into the BCM data pads and I went through everything. I'm like, okay, let me just look and see. And there was nothing in the BCM except for, this one fooled me for a little while too. Like I said, I wasted some time on this one. I saw passenger seat buckle buckled, but it also said option next to it. And I went through a whole lot of stuff to find out that data PID is optional. It's not relevant. It had nothing to do. The seatbelt switch worked fine. So that had nothing to do with our problem, but I did waste some time there. But anyways, I got to the point where I wanted to isolate specific modules, whether that be unplugging or pulling fuses. I'm going to go through everything and see what I can do. So I do that for several modules, and I eventually get to my power liftgate module, and I pulled the fuse for this, which is actually in the under hood fuse box. It's a 30 amp. And finally, when I did that, the network went to sleep and it stopped talking. I'm like, oh, okay. And you could watch the draw drop down to like 200 milliamps. And we eventually found out it'll stay there for about 15 minutes, but it dropped down from that 2 amps, which is what I was looking for. And the bus went to sleep, which is the key to me that like, okay, this thing can now actually go into its sleep state. I don't have to sit here for 40 minutes waiting. I just need to see that that network stopped its activity. And the fuse was for the power lift gate. Now, I could have started with this method and it would have got me there faster on this vehicle. But like I say, I've had good luck in the past separating a network. I think this body can operates a little bit differently with the body control module, and it wasn't ready to go to sleep until it saw certain things, or maybe it was still trying to reach out to a module which had been separated. I'm not sure. Anyways, I know now that I need to go after my power lift gate. That pulling fuse was more effective for me in this case. So, first thing I did before I accessed the module, because it's in the right rear of the vehicle behind like a plastic panel, was I got the scan tool on there and I went into the liftgate module to look at data PIDs, right? And okay, I could have done this before and gone through every module in the body can. It's a little time consuming, which is why I didn't do it. But now I know for sure this is my module in question. And so I'm going to look through the data PIDs and see if there any switch states that are not where they're supposed to be that would indicate to me that something is keeping this module awake. Now, I put the fuse back in, plugged in my scan tool, and here's the interesting thing. I didn't even have to get the key for the vehicle. I could just scan it and I could talk to everything on the medium speed can. Another way, if I had done that before, I could have identified that it was the body can without even pulling out my scope. So that was an option because nothing else on the car talked except for the stuff on the medium speed can, interestingly enough. And also interesting that that went through the gateway, which is your smart junction box, but that was awake. So anyways, go to my liftgate module and I'm looking through the data PIDs. And it was actually pretty clear at this point that one of the switches for the latch on the liftgate was going from open to close randomly. It would just go open, close, open, close, open, close, open, close. And you didn't have to do anything. You didn't have to touch it. It was just going open to close. And this is what was keeping the power liftgate module awake, is it saw the switch on the rear latch was moving. And so we open up the liftgate, we pulled the trim off, I unplugged the latch, and I looked at the circuit, and this switch just applies ground to a circuit in order to show its open state. I unplug this latch, the module sees everything's off or closed, the state where it needs to be in order for the module to go to sleep. I give it maybe 20 seconds. That module goes to sleep. The network goes to sleep. The draw goes down. Again, it was at like 200 milliamps. And we found out it sat there for about 15 minutes. So anyways, that was the cause of the draw, was this rear latch. Now you might say, well, that's pretty straightforward and easy. Should have found that easier. And yeah, I mean, that's the thing with these draws. It usually ends up being something rather simple, rather easy, but getting there, it wasn't so easy because with that network awake, right? That's the problem. If you go back 20 years, that power liftgate module would have been the single source of a draw. That module would have maybe stayed awake. But that fuse, which actually was like a J-case style fuse with a plastic cover, so I didn't amp-hound that one on my initial check, but that fuse would have been the one that would have killed all of the draw. But now we have all these modules connected on a network. So one thing like that wakes up everybody, and it makes tracking it down to the source a lot more cumbersome. It's a lot more work. But the method that I use, again, to figure out, okay, where is the draw going off of the battery using an inductive amp clamp? And then if I see multiple fuses, I'm looking at networks. And then you can go from there. Now at least you have a short list of modules. You can break down the network, separate it out, or isolate individual modules, pull fuses, however you want to do that, and wait for the network to go to sleep. And then you dial in on that particular module. But when you do, don't just replace the module. dig into like what could be keeping it awake. Look at the data pits, look at any switch circuits that are connected to it, anything like that that's going to be forcing that module stay in the awake state. And then hopefully you can fix the draw. So anyways, if you see some of these out there, keep all that stuff in mind. They can be tricky, but if you have a process, you can get through this stuff. A little bit of patience. Just make sure you're charging correctly. These are not easy jobs, and you need to get paid correctly for this, because I can tell you that there are just not a whole lot of shops that can really handle these draws efficiently and accurately. So if you can, or if you can start building towards that, although these are a pain sometimes, you can charge a decent amount of money. So hopefully all that stuff helps. And hey, if you were in Australia, you got a little round two action there. But anyways, let's all get out there, start fixing the world one car at a time.